The Lord tells us today that he cuts off the branches that don't bring forth fruit. How there were plenty of people who rejected our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes the thought can pass by our mind, how is it that these people who were supposed to be so dedicated to the law of Moses, the Pharisees, how is it that they could not recognize Jesus Christ? They would say things which sounded almost justified, like, as for Moses, we know from whence he is, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. But our Lord answers and said, had you known my Father, you would have recognized me. He makes reference to Abraham, the patriarch. If you did the works of Abraham, you would know who I am. If you heard the prophets, you would know who I am. There are plenty of people today who would have been in the place of the Pharisees, rejecting Jesus Christ. They would have heard the voice of the Pharisees, saw them as zealots, because that's what a Pharisee means. They would have saw them as zealots for the faith, and yet they did not understand the essence. Everything was exterior. Nothing was internal. How many of us get caught up with the externals? We're talking about how many Lord have mercies we're supposed to be saying in a service. Meanwhile, we don't even say one Lord have mercy from our heart. How many of us work on the interior life? How often are we going to read these sayings of the Holy Fathers? When will it finally sink into us? These are the questions which we have to ask ourselves. For when our Lord says, as he said in today's scriptures, whatever branch does not bear forth fruit will be cut off, there's no excuse for that person, because they did not recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. And the consequences are beyond any words, particularly if a person turns away from Christ. You say that you see, therefore your sin remaineth with you, he said to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees claimed that they understood things. But as we said, they didn't understand the essence, they didn't understand the interior life. The stress of the monastic life is the internal, the interior. It's always a shock for me when people are not understanding the interior life. They don't understand the whole concept of pulling out the passions from our heart. And we're stuck on the rules. The rules are there and they're important for a purpose. The purpose is to uproot the passions from our hearts. And we're not just talking about passions of the flesh, but we're talking about the really serious ones, like the first and foremost, pride, which causes a person to fall away from God. That person is the branch that is cut off. That person gets stuck in his mind, deluding himself with such nonsense, such stupidity, wasting so much mental strength, spiritual strength, emotional strength over nothing. And they don't understand the weightier matters. They're not understanding the essence, as we said. They're not understanding anything about the interior life. Have we entered into our hearts? Have we even given ourselves a chance? How do we open our mouths before the Lord? Do we condemn ourselves? And for this reason, our Lord now gives us this blessed period of the fast. There are a number of different rules that we're keeping here. But as we said, we have to understand the purpose of the rules so that we can uproot the passions. What is the purpose for the uprooting of the passions? All the passions that we have are obstacles and delusions. When a person is given, for example, to any type of passion, he has to understand the root of his problem. The root of all the passions actually is pride, as we said. And if we remain in our passions in an unrepentant state, which is the worst, and many of us remain unrepentant even though we think we're repenting because we're not really facing our problems, we're always pointing the finger at somebody else or something else. There's always an excuse. When we pull out those passions, namely pride, by humbling ourselves, by condemning ourselves, by looking for help from God, how are we going to get rid of these things if we don't go to God, if we don't come to the services, if we don't pray in the services, if we're not attentive? When we remove those things, then we're able to see a little more clearly. Otherwise, we're in our delusions. We have to understand it. This is why, as I've said so many times, St. Gregory Palamas, the great father, would always say, "Enlighten my darkness, O Lord." But here we have people who think they're enlightened without God. All the answers, we have all the answers, we've got everything figured out. Without God, without doing the ABCs that all the fathers are telling us to do, and we have the nerve to proudly present our thoughts as if they are the fait accompli, as if it's a done deal. Is that not a delusion? This is why we now turn to the Mother of God. We have to understand that we certainly need help. If we're not going to receive the help of the Mother of God, we will remain in our delusions. We will be the branch which is cut off. The message is a serious one. If a person doesn't like it, it's going to be tough for them. But it's the reality. The reality is that we can do nothing without our Savior Jesus Christ. Do we wish to have a part with Him? Or do we wish to foolishly live our lives in a big lie? Woe unto us if we do this. Woe unto us if we don't take these few days seriously. This period of Great Lent. We turn now to the Holy Mother, asking her to enlighten our darkness. If St. Gregory Palamas said it, we need to say it. It's enough fooling ourselves. It's time to get serious with ourselves. It's time to be honest to ourselves. It's time to be real. Our faith is the faith of reality. Otherwise, we will hear, "Behold, I have told you beforehand." Our Lord says in Scriptures, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." These are the words we don't want to hear. But we who are here in the monastery will be left with no excuse because we hear all these things constantly, consistently. Even if we want to shut up our ears, which unfortunately, due to our spiritual state, we're not attentive in services, we're not catching things. Still, everything is right in front of us. Please, take this time seriously. Let us not be a cause of grief to those who are serious about it. But more importantly, let us not be a cause of grief to the Holy Spirit. Grieve ye not the Holy Spirit who is in you. We have sinned. We have done iniquity, as we heard in the canon. We heard it all week. We have sinned. We have done iniquity. And so the church is helping us to walk this way of repentance. Let us pray. Looking towards the Holy Mother now, we have her holy icon here in front of us, to grant us help to be able to complete the course of the Holy Fast, and that she help us open the ears of our soul, open the eyes of our soul to give us understanding so that we will see the world for what it is, its vanity, its falseness, and that we will see what we have here in front of us. We have everything. We have God. We don't understand the blessings that have been given to us. We don't understand the grace that has been given to us. What a sad thing for us, as St. Simeon the Theologian says, if only we understood what was given to us at Holy Baptism. One of the reasons why the church now gives us this service on Friday is because after the intense week of prostrations and repentance, as we said, those rules are there to help us work in the inside of our souls. The prostrations are there as a sign of repentance. Now we come to the salutations of the Mother God, which is more festive, because repentance brings joy. Repentance brings life. Repentance is not depression. It's the opposite. The word of Saint Isaac, Harmulipi, it's joy-making sorrow. Joy which comes out of sorrow. Sorrow which is not unto death, but sorrow which is godly sorrow. So as we are praising the Mother of God, as we are hymning her, she's with us and she's waiting. It's as if we have gone to a special place. We've gone to the house of the Mother of God, and we put before her our petitions, and she's just waiting there to hear our petitions, because she has the unconditional love of the Mother. She is the Mother of us all. Let us put forth our petitions to her. Let us be wise. Let us hearken to the voice of the Lord. Let us understand that the Mother of God is the second after the Holy Trinity. In fact, we heard in the service these past few weeks that she lent her flesh to the Lord, her blood. And for this reason, she is given such great honor. Only a chosen vessel could lend her flesh to the God before the ages. May we continue to praise her. May she beseech the Lord on our behalf that we continue to praise her with the salutations and with the supplicatory canons, and more importantly, with the prayers of our heart. For a heart that is broken and humbled, God will not despise. To our Lord be glory, and to the ages of ages. Amen.